Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Thursday, everybody. Sean Campbell, Adam Herhock. Finally both back at it after what felt like a long time away from here.
It was, and I was telling you off the air before we started the show, I had all my plans. I need to stop saying my plans out loud. That's what happens, because then the cosmos, the universe,
just gets together to go to F you over.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to get this done at the house. I'm going to get this done. And Cosmos is like, no, you're not. played a rousing game for the last 3 days called Give Me That, as Joey he's a heat-seeking missile for everything he's not supposed to touch.
Isn't that always how it goes?
Yeah. I mean, he loves the TV remote. I'm minding my own business. Next thing I know, the channel's changing. He's got it in his mouth.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then the little guy decides he makes a conscious decision to get sick.
As they do, you know, they just actively like, you know what sounds like be fun today? If I just get violently ill.
Yes. So, yeah, you might hear Sean might be potting me up really loud when I start snoring into the mic. Just have the show right over top of me. That's fine.
Yeah.
Just give me the old James Ludwig approach.
Oh, my God. I'd forgotten about that. See, that's the kind of stuff I miss doing. I have a guest on the phone who's just sleeping. We just keep him on the air until he wakes up. That's just what we do at Solid State Radio.
How long was I out? Quite a bit. Back after this. commercial break.
Right. Be the first caller when he wakes up and you get free tickets to the Lions or something. Who am I kidding? That's not in our budget.
No, no.
We have much to talk to run down today, though, as you know. He hasn't been here since Friday. I've had one show in since then. I know we're going to have to talk wings at some point. Yep. We'll get to – there's already more updates on the whole Michigan situation from yesterday, which I still have to fill you in on that fun.
Oh, great.
And then more of the general stupidity you've come to know and love from this radio show. So stick around. It's Happy Hour. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Cannons at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's Happy Hour. He's Adam Herhock. I'm Sean Cantwell. And once again, we have to start the sports portion of this show with talk about the old University of Michigan.
Go Blue!
And how the rest of the Big Ten's coaches are not happy about things that are currently going on in that program, namely the whole science stealing investigation and how it seems to be taking almost a glacial pace for anything to be actually done about it, despite the fact that we now have photographic evidence of sign stealer Connor Stallions on the sidelines with the coaches of Central Michigan at Spartan Stadium wearing a goddamn hat and camera sunglasses like he's effing James goddamn Bond.
Ba-da-ba-da.
Like this is literally a spy movie that you know, if you tried to pitch this to a actual movie studio, that's not believable at all. No one would actually do that. And then here Michigan's going out and actually effing doing it, and the rest of the Big Ten is pissed.
This is sounding more and more like an SNL sketch every day.
It really is. Like this is just such. It is kind of a, like an SNL sketch gone wrong, man.
We adamantly deny the accusations of sign stealing. Behind the coach, just got an amazing blue, big old U of M number one hand with a camera sticking out of it.
You kind of gotta wonder, honestly, like. The fact that they've been this blatant about it, and I do have a little thing from The Athletic where they surveyed the rest of the a bunch of other big Power 5 coaches and things about this, and we'll do that maybe in the next segment. But the latest update is that his fellow coaches in the Big Ten are over it, and they want the commissioner of the Big Ten to do something the F about this. A majority of Big Ten football head coaches shared their displeasure with the ongoing sign-stealing investigation on a video call with Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti, according to a report released by ESPN late Wednesday night. Apparently, there's going to be a call with all the athletic directors in the Big Ten today around 5, and I imagine a bunch of people...
There's going to be a sign-stealer amongst them.
Probably. I guarantee you're going to have Alton Holler just screaming his lungs out into the goddamn phone. The report claims the conversation, described as regularly scheduled Big Ten business, lasted nearly 1.5 hours and that U of M coach Jim Harbaugh left the conversation after the first hour so the rest of the league coaches could speak about their feelings more freely. So they were just mother effing him up and down, you just know.
Yeah.
During that time, per the report, coaches were described as emotional, with the coaches encouraging Petitti to take action against Michigan. Big Ten representatives have not returned calls from the Freep. Petitti, hired in April, reportedly heard numerous examples from coaches who detailed how U of M's plan unfolded and the ways in which it hurt their programs. So now it sounds like it's very much in the commissioner's court. Then we heard the whole thing about where a guy who just happens to look a lot like Connor Stallions, wearing a Central Michigan hat and like sunglasses, like half like anytime he's on camera on FS1 in the game, like,
yeah,
he had like the play call sheet over his face, like, oh, well, they don't know I'm here.
Well, nice security for the Chippewas, right?
Apparently, he was just having a conversation with CMU's recruiting coach down there during the game too. Like, this is getting a bit ridiculous, is it not?
How's everything going for the Chips? Oh, pretty bad. Our quarterback is has to go into a drug release program or something like that. Allegedly, I'm joking, folks. Don't put that down there. Oh, really? It just starts writing down in a notebook,
right?
But it's like, how did he get down there?
Well, there's a lot of people at Central who have ties to U of M, a lot of guys who left Central to coach at U of M. So there's a longstanding relationship there, and I'm going to tell you what, if I'm Alan Haller or whoever ends up being the next coach at MSU, we're never playing Central again. You know, you guys have fun being a poverty school that has to, you know, beg real teams to play you for that sweet, sweet gate revenue. We ain't doing it anymore. Like, you're literally colluding with Michigan to steal our signs now and literally sending your coaches down on the sidelines to our opponents. F you, we're never playing your school again. F yourself.
That's starting to make a little sense. I was just thinking it was some sort of G.I. Joe scenario where, like, he knocks out a member of the Chippewa coaching staff and puts on the uniform. He's just walking around.
You know, I wouldn't have put that past him, and that would actually be kind of hilarious if that were the case.
Judo chop. They'll never know it's me.
He just, like, chokes the guy out, passes him out, and puts on the uniform. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's ill-fitting. It doesn't... Yeah, you know, it's like, nice security.
Right, that's really fantastic.
Well, we know somebody. We worked alongside somebody who, he says, a lot of times you just have to have a lanyard and look like you belong. Just walk around like you belong to be there.
Exactly. We've talked about, we've done that very thing before, but like, you'd think the security be a little higher, say, at Central Michigan University than it is here. Apparently
you
not.
Think so.
That's a bit, that's ridiculous in and of itself. So now that's all going down. You've got the big, like, how long does Harbaugh have till he gets, like, and they're like pressuring, like, Tony Petitti to do something now about this, like, not wait till the end of the season, anything. Like, the Big Ten does have the power to suspend Harbaugh for the remainder of the season or however long they deem fit. Do you think any punishment comes down before the end of this year? And if so, what punishment you think happens?
I think it's going to be the equivalent of a slap on the wrist. I think they're going to wait until everything happens. The season's done, playoffs are done, and everything else.
Playoffs.
And he'll probably be suspended for, like, the first half of the season next year.
I mean, at the same point in time, I don't feel like the rest of the schools in the Big Ten are going to stand for this. I mean, they're all, like, even Ohio State, rather upset about this. And, like, do you really want to piss off Ohio State? Because if you do, maybe they start making threats about leaving for the Big Ten or something, and then you've got a real problem when you only have one school in the conference that's relevant on a national level. Like, Ohio State's basically the thing that's keeping, like, they have a lot more to lose in Ohio State than they do by pissing off Michigan right now.
Yeah, let them go. So we went from, like, 20 teams to 19. Oops. Ooh, no.
Yeah, but you're losing the one that actually contends for a natty on the regular.
I know.
They're not going to do that. And the rest of the AD, I don't remember how it works. I think it's the ADs that choose the commissioner of the league. Like, they can up and fire this cat if he won't do anything about this.
Yeah.
Like, Tony Petitti is going to be looking for another job real quick if he doesn't do anything at all, or does he? Oh, well, you can't coach this week against Nebraska, and then everything's going to be fine.
Right.
And now that you're getting to the point where you're literally going, sending your people onto other teams' actual sidelines and hanging out with their coaches on the sidelines during games and stuff, we've now crossed a... Now I feel like you've crossed a line that you can't ignore it anymore. No? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, that goes a little bit farther than somebody just happens to be in the stands, just happens to catch your signs.
Right? I was kind of fine with a lot of this up to that point. Okay, you've got people up in the stands, whatever, watching the game, you know, just has to happen to have their cell phone trained on the sideline the entire time. Okay, whatever. I am willing to overlook that and all of that. But to this level, and honestly, CMU should probably get punished. Like, that team should probably have to forfeit a playoff appearance for letting him down there and colluding with him on that, too.
Yes.
To be honest with you, I think they should get punished every bit as badly. I mean, not as badly as Michigan, but pretty close.
They're a part of it, so yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you're now complicit in it, ergo, you got to go too. I think that's almost how it has to go, truthfully.
Yeah.
We'll see what they say tonight. Like I said, meeting at 5 o'clock with the ADs, a Zoom call or whatever, to try and, I assume, determine next steps here, but... This is really starting to look worse. Like, it's starting to look worse for Harbaugh. Like, even the people who were in the national media who were defending this cat, you know, the Screamin' A. Smiths and the Paul Feinbaums of the world, who were actually defending you when this first broke, now they're realizing the depth and extent of it. Like, no, you can't do that. That's terrible, and you should get the book thrown at you for it. Like, everybody's turned on you, and there's a reason for that. Here's Primus at Solid State Radio. Party at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And it's been far too long since I've let Adam do this. So as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Oh, that's my jam.
Oh, I know. I know it is.
We had a good day. Was it
Monday?
Monday, yeah. I mean, and then when the smoke cleared, at least at the point, you had the Pistons with a winning record, the Red Wings with a winning record.
Did the Pistons actually have a winning record? Because they lost on Monday.
They were two wins, one loss, and now they're 2-3. But brief shining moment.
That brief shining moment, this team was a total embarrassment.
Yes, yes.
Which I guess you'll take at this point.
Well, they're taking on the Pelicans tonight. We'll take that for what it's worth. But that's not Pistons music I hear in the background.
No, it certainly isn't. I do love it. So I was watching the Monday Night Lions game.
Yes.
And, you know, as great as that was, we flipped over during halftime to the Wings. They were down 2-0. And then while we were watching, like during that little brief moment in overtime, like in halftime, in the span of 4 minutes, they made that a game again.
They did. They did it. I like the fact that when they're down, they're not out. They're gonna keep trucking. Use any cliche that you would, whichever one you like. They made it work. Three games in the third period against the Islanders, and ended up winning it in overtime.
Yeah, this is not something that a Wings team even from a couple of years ago would have done.
No. No, this is certainly not. I mean, you got goals from Daniel Sprong. He's been a nice addition. Jake Wallman with a good one. JT Compher. And then Lucas Raymond, who a lot of people wanted to bench because, you know, if he's not putting up 30 goals by now, he's a bust. Get rid of him. He scores in the overtime.
People really soured on that dude quick, and yeah, I don't understand. Well, I mean, is it just because we're both in a certain wing-wheeled-based Facebook group that, like, everyone overreacts to literal goddamn everything ever? Is that just because we seem to find the most reactionary parts of this fan base? Or are Wings fans just really that stupid? I'm not sure which.
I think the keyboard warriors are that stupid.
It's readily apparent.
If those same people woke up this morning and said that Raymond was traded to Vegas for a fourth and a fifth round pick, they'd be furious.
How come you didn't get anything for him?
That's terrible. He's a good player. So that's where you find yourselves. The Wings...
can't win with these people, man.
Wings couldn't win for three games. I mean, they really had a rough stretch there. Games that they probably should have won against Seattle. We talked about that. Winnipeg, they lost 4-1. And I mean, we talked about that on the next night. Was it on Friday?
Yeah.
I mean, Hellebuck doing Hellebuck-like things. And then they got just brought right back down to earth from Boston, losing 4-1 on Saturday. The watering hole I was hanging out at for the Sessions Concert Series, BMO's over in Bay City. Hey, BMO's, great job. Great place. Couldn't get the game on, so we were watching the World Series instead. And it was just as well, because the Wings did not have a good showing.
Couldn't get the Wings game on?
Yeah, they didn't have Bally's. Of course, people who have Bally's don't have Bally's. The Bally's app, apparently, they've been releasing statements going, yeah, sorry.
Like, we don't know what to do about this.
Yeah, maybe that's why you're going bankrupt.
Yeah, they've really just got their you-know-what together over there, clearly.
Well, they're on Bally's again tonight, taking on the Panthers.
Maybe some of you will be able to watch it.
Hey, maybe. Those of you who are outside of the Detroit Red Wings viewing area will be able to check it out on ESPN+.
There you go.
Yeah. They're taking on the Panthers, who are, you know, not that far. I mean, I thought they were going to flounder a little bit after losing in the Stanley Cup Finals, but
I say you were expecting a full-on Stanley Cup hangover from that.
I was expecting the Bruins to go down in flames.
Weren't we all? They haven't lost a game yet, have they?
In overtime.
Okay, they haven't lost a regulation yet. All right, time to you know what to do Saturday, Red Wings. Make it happen.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic. I mean, this is a team that, for better or for worse, has been playing up or down to their competition, so maybe they'll really put an extra little bit of oomph. I mean, they are 6-3-1. So maybe Panthers are still favored.
And also, I don't know if you're aware of this, the Wings right now on pace to finish with over 100 points this season.
Good.
After 10 games, I didn't expect that to still be the case.
I mean, they're doing a great job. Alex DeBrincat is, I believe, still leading the league in goals. I mean, you have Justin Holl doing a great job. Dylan Larkin being the captain that we all needed. He's a +3. 11 assists and 4 goals of his own. Just doing a great job.
Oh, yeah. Doing fantastic. You just love to see it. Like, the way these signings from the offseason have come together and done so well. I mean, Sprong's now got, what, 3 goals on the season?
Yep.
Shane Godless-Bear's got 3 goals and 4 assists on the year. Like, everyone who they picked up in free agency seems to really be contributing in a major way here.
Yeah, and, I mean, Godless-Bear, really liking what he has brought. And then you've got guys who are finally coming into their own in the name of Joe Valeno. He has been really producing well. I think he was the only one who found the back of the net against Boston on Saturday. So there's a lot of positives to this team.
There really are, yeah. And it's really nice to see it all gelling together as quickly as it has. Like, you kind of wonder going in when you kind of trailed off at the end of last year. You did shake a lot of things up. You know, you figure that you're going to need time for the team to really start to coalesce and come together and, you know, the lines and things to gel and whatnot. And as it turns out, nope, that hasn't really needed to be the case at all.
Right. So we'll see. I'm going to be keeping an eye out for his projected lineups.
I'm sure I can get you projected lineups here quicker than that. Also, I hear the old Patrick Kane rumors. Just keep.
Still?
Yeah. We're apparently one of like 2 or 3 teams that he really wants to play for.
Isn't that great? Reminds me when I dated this girl in 10th grade. She's like, I would never cheat on you unless it was with any of the new kids on the block or this kid in my science class. That relationship didn't last.
No, I bet it didn't. By the way, a little bit of breaking news. Looking forward to that Boston game this weekend.
Yeah.
Charlie McAvoy suspended 4 games for an illegal check to the head on Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Yes. Yeah, that's good news for the Wings. He's kind of been filling a lot of holes that has been vacated from players retiring and moving on.
Yeah, he had the game winner in last weekend's game, and he's like the best D-man they have, and, well, you're not going to see him this weekend. Oh, darn, whatever will we do?
Yep, sorry. Guess that's just not going to happen. So we will see.
That we will. Here's Weezer. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Beach weather at your local alternative solid state radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And okay, I swear this should be, barring some breaking news that we can actually substantiate, the last Michigan-based thing we talk about on the show this afternoon. The Athletic came out with this survey. They talked to 50 college football coaches, and their opinions of Michigan's current scandal are not as about as favorable as you would expect them to be, which is to say, not at all.
Yeah.
So the major one, on a scale of 1 to 5, how severe are the allegations against U of M? And I'm not sure if this was before the Connor Stallions getting caught on the sidelines of the Central game. This was put out yesterday, so I'm sure that most of the coaches at least were aware of it. Half of them, a good 23, would rate it a 5, 5 being the most serious, and an additional 16 put it as a 4. Most in college football had never heard anything quite like what has been reported happening in Michigan. A Pac-12 head coach says, it's easy to call plays when you know what the defense is. It's a huge deal that someone went to another game and filmed all their signals. That's Spygate stuff. What I love is there's a Sun Belt head coach who had said, in some ways, they should be held accountable for just their sheer stupidity. They could have done this for years and years and never been caught if they'd just been smart about it.
The thing is, there's probably programs that are doing it that didn't get caught.
Right, and that's probably one of them.
Yeah.
Like, they know damn well what they're doing. A Mountain West linebacker coach was just as baffled by the recklessness of the alleged scheme. If you're going to do it like that, at least be subtle about it. They were so arrogant and brazen and didn't hide it at all. It just showed how much they didn't care about the rules.
Yep.
You have an SEC guy, and they're probably the ones who do this work most of anybody. That's one of the few rules no one is brave or stupid enough to just step over. My God, what idiots. Doing it is one thing. Getting caught is an entirely other thing, end quote.
Do you see teams either now or starting next season taking a little bit more effort to hiding their signs?
I think ultimately what happens here is you end up doing, like, you have the headsets on the sidelines, you know, for coaches, and like the earpiece, like in the QB's ear or whoever your defensive whatever's ear, like they do in the NFL games. I see that coming to college football sooner rather than later.
Well, here's how out of touch I am. I thought that they had already done that.
You know, truth be told, I kind of thought that too, like until all this broke. Like, I guess I wasn't entirely aware that that wasn't a thing. But yeah, like, you have to figure they're going to go to that, or like the wristband thing like they do in baseball. Like, they're going to go to the PitchCom deal or something like that sooner rather than later and just cut this whole thing out entirely. A overwhelming 47 respondents said U of M should be punished, and 2 others were unsure. I mean, easy answer for pretty much everybody. As far as what specifically you do, I don't know. Does Jim Harbaugh have plausible deniability?
No. He's a head coach.
And most of the others agree with you. 35 of the 50 said no. 9 were unsure. 6 say yes. And most of them are not buying this at all. I mean, a staffer whose official role is working in the recruiting department being so involved with Wolverine coordinators on the sidelines during a game is a red flag.
Right.
Quote, I don't believe Harbaugh organizers started it, but if some young guy comes up to me and says, I've got all their signals, well, I'm thinking, I know you did something you shouldn't have, one Big Ten defensive coordinator said. If I'm the head coach and I'm watching one of my recruiting analysts have a constant flow of information with my coordinators during the game, I'm either wondering what's going on there, or I'm an idiot.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Is it right? No. No, it's not morally right. It's not ethical. Other teams are doing it, but that doesn't make it right.
Not to this extent, though. Like, I mean, there are definitely guys who are going out there scouting, but now what we're hearing, like I said, the Central stuff to me makes it infinitely worse. One analyst in the ACC said something that I've kind of been thinking this entire time. Who gets that close to a head coach who doesn't have access? Because right. Normally he serves in a position where he wouldn't be having contact with the coaches on game day, much less on the sidelines during the game.
Right.
And both your offensive and defensive coordinators. That says in itself that something is kind of fishy about that. And then we see it happening on the sidelines at other teams' games apparently now too.
You're gonna, regardless if there's a big punishment coming down to U of M, you're going to see big changes, immediate changes to start off with. And then probably headsets, you're going to see a little bit more stringent about who they have on the sidelines, which should have been done the whole time, but, you know, I'm not going to split hairs.
Yeah, probably should have been done a lot sooner than it was. Has the sign stealing played a role in U of M's success since 2021?
I don't know.
A lot of coaches apparently think that yes, yes, it has. Yes, the overwhelming response by 37 out of 50. No, 11 people had said. Now, it's funny that Michigan was 2-4 during the pandemic year of 2020, only to turn around and just go on an amazing just tear since then. We know the sign stealing has been going on since at least 2021. I don't think it's had an effect on necessarily beating the teams that they have, with the possible exception of Ohio State. I think there might have been an effect there because Ohio State had their number for the longest time.
Yep.
And they finally have figured them out in recent history. They lost 8 in a row to them and then came back and won 2 more against them and won, then won 2 Big Ten titles on top of that.
Yeah.
Didn't help them, obviously, when they made it to the college football playoff that one year, but I think you could absolutely draw a straight line to they had some key things that they figured out about Ohio State and their signals and knew what plays were coming. And I think that absolutely could have changed the tide of those games. And apparently the college football coaches at large seem to agree on that.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, it sucks because, I mean, as a U of M fan, de facto, I guess.
Right.
I mean, they're having a great season, and you hate to see anything like that tarnish it. Then you got to wonder how much of this is sour grapes, but then they're starting to see all these facts come out. It's like, okay, maybe it's not exactly sour grapes. There's obviously a lot of smoke there. There's got to be some fire there. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, and you look at some of the other results. We're not going to go into, you know, super deep into a lot of these. Like, most coaches seem to think, at least on a scale of 1 to 10, that it's a 6 to 10 as far as how serious of a problem the in-person scouting is. You've got, like, at least 17 of the 50 said their staff does have a signal stealer. The vast majority of coaches want, like, coach player comms, like the in-helmet communication, like the NFL. And like I said, before all this, I don't think I realized that wasn't already a thing.
I didn't either.
You got to think it's coming now sooner rather than later, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why would you not? Like, at this point, you want to prevent this from happening again. That's the best way to do it. Same thing with the whole, you know, the Astros thing that ended up leading to changes in MLB. Like, instead of, you know, signs for your pitches, you now basically have the pitch tracks or the pitch comm thing, like, yep, the little wristband transmitter or whatever. So it's going to end up leading to changes in some capacity. Just we'll see what actually happens as far as punishment on Michigan. And I imagine we'll find out something after the AD's talk tonight. Maybe we'll have something to report on tomorrow. Who the hell knows? It is
probably some big breaking news tomorrow, I have a feeling.
Right? It'll be something interesting to lead the show off with, that's for sure. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Smashing Pumpkins at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And, you know, we talk a lot about how servers have a rather difficult job because people have gotten just to be so ridiculous about things these days.
And I'm surprised because these people who are a-holes to servers, they're really kind of getting called out. They're getting their comeuppance.
I like it. I think it, quite frankly, in most, like 99% of cases, it is long overdue. A restaurant server went to TikTok to complain about, quote, the crunchiest mom who had issues with the limited and unhealthy options on her restaurant's kids menu, and commenters far and wide felt her frustration. The video starts with the creator who reveals, the other day at work, I had the crunchiest mom at my table, and this is what happened. So it's a family of four, two kids, mom and dad. So she goes over there and takes their order and just say, you know, our kids menu is not extensive at all. It's like mac and cheese, grilled cheese, chicken tenders, like a kid's dream.
That's normal fare for a kids menu.
Basically, yeah. The server says the family orders, and when it gets to one of the kids' turn, the mom says, oh, my son wants the wings, but can he substitute the chicken tenders for wings? She's like, oh, I can't substitute. because the price of wings isn't equal to the kids' menu item. I can't substitute. She's like, fine, we'll take the chicken tenders. Then this is where the mom allegedly scolded the worker, saying, honestly, it's super infuriating how non-inclusive your kids' menu is. Look how much food there is for adults, and then kids get three options, and they're all unhealthy. I mean, the creator then said she tried to make a joke, saying, yeah, you'd think it would have changed over the last 20 years. Like, that's what I was eating when I was a kid. Then the mom purportedly said, no, it's actually infuriating. In response, the server said she suggested the mom order veggies as a side from the adult menu, but of course the toddler preferred ordering preferred fries to veggies because of course they did.
Yeah, kids are like, listen, mom, I got this. Deep fry everything. Deep fry the plate. Bring it.
So the creator says she went with the classic expression of customer service dissatisfaction. The mom asked to speak to the manager.
Okay.
After she conferred with the manager to determine the mom's need for real, she spoke to the mom and, quote, got her ass chewed out after I got my ass chewed out, and I was like, LOL, this is hilarious. Like, here's what I don't understand.
Well, the server took it in good stride.
There are two things that really, like, get on kind of minors with this thing. One, do you really think your server or, hell, even the manager on duty at the restaurant is responsible for the menu?
Right.
Like, I don't think the server's there specifically picking out, like, what's on the menu. Like, and I'm pretty sure your manager on duty also has nothing to do with that. That's put up by multiple layers above those people. Like, why are you bitching them out? This isn't their thing that they did.
That's why you say, you bring up a good point. I'll bring it. I'll send it on.
Apparently, she really wanted to send it on up to the, like I said, the manager on this.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in my 9-to-5, when people say, where's this product? Oh, it's over in this aisle. Well, why is it there? And they want me to go in through some sort of long explanation as to why it's there. I was like, because that's where they told me to stock it.
Right. Like, people think, and I'm amazed sometimes at the number of people who think that, like, everything, every decision that's made at a restaurant or store or whatever, that the person who's there checking out your stuff or stocking the place is, like, directly responsible for deciding what things happen and where they go and whatnot. Like, you think that's above my pay grade.
Oh, yeah.
That's not my responsibility. They just tell me what to do when I do it.
Yeah. I mean,
like, this is the menu. I didn't personally have any input in it. Like, you don't like it, that's fine. But, mm-hmm. But why are you going to bitch me out about it?
And this, first of all, back up a little bit. I love the fact that she calls her a crunchy mother. I'm going to start using the term crunchy quite often because I think that's just great.
Yeah.
It's not real insulting, but it's just funny. She probably is one of those people that gets a lot of free attention, a lot of free stuff, a lot of, you know, accommodations for her when she complains like this. Her husband's probably rolling his eyes going, oh, here we go.
Here we go again. Yep. Why did I marry you? And here's the other part to my complaint. So you see there are healthy things elsewhere on, or the things that you think are appropriate elsewhere right. on the menu.
Yep.
You know you don't have to order off the kids' menu for your kids, right? You do know that? Like, there's not like, you know, somewhere on the Ten Commandments that said, thou shall only order for children off the kids' menu. Yeah. So so saith the Lord. Like, that's not how this works. Like, you can,
I like my son with like a side salad. That's not on the kids' menu.
Right. Like, who says you have to order off the kids' menu then?
Right.
Like, that's dumb.
Well, it's too big of portions. It's too overpriced for just a kid. So you've got two kids. You order one dish. You split it between two of them. Boom.
There you go. Everybody's happy.
Yeah, get something, you know, nice and grilled chicken tofu salad or something like that. The kids will be like, I hate you. This is going in my book when I write one. I wanted mac and cheese smothered in chicken strips, but no, I got to eat healthy.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, like, mom's ordering like the barbecue burger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know damn well that's what's going on there. Like, you don't have to like keep your kids limited to the kids menu. That's not how that works.
No,
like, you
can. I mean, I will say that the crunchy mother, I love that. She maybe has a point that a kids menu should include those kind of options, but the fact that they don't is not the server's fault. It's not the manager's fault. It is what it is. And if she has a problem with it, then she should contact the business, you know, on her time,
right?
When she leaves or whatever, as opposed to getting all crunchy.
Yeah, that sounds like an issue you need to take up with somebody well above anyone who's in the restaurant at present. Right. And then apparently she also tipped a quote unquote horribly.
Of course.
Wasn't expecting much after that encounter though. Like, and that, you know, this comes back to that bit we did a couple weeks ago about that from the website that was just looking for excuses not to tip people.
Yes.
Like, you're not going to tip your server well because you have issues with the actual food menu, as if that's something you have any control of. You're a garbage human being.
Yes.
You're the kind of person that just goes out looking for things to be wrong with stuff just so you can have an excuse to not tip them. And I know I've met people like this. I've been friends with people like this.
Oh, yeah.
And it really makes me just not want to go out. It made me not want to go out to dinner or lunch or any kind of restaurant with those people because they were always forever looking for an excuse to not tip, looking for something that could possibly be wrong with their service or something else so that they could go and throw a fit about it.
Yeah. I mean, I've stopped going to restaurants with people, certain people, because, you know, you end up getting, like my dad says, you hang out with dirt, you're going to get some on you. And so people think that you're just as much trash as the people you hang around with. And that's just, I was raised better than that.
Right.
To respect people in the service industry. Now, this person probably looked at it as, yeah, okay, they have a pretty nasty kids menu options. That's what I'm going to complain about. Does the letter ever say what the kids did end up ordering?
I don't think so. I think it just said they ended up just doing the tenders.
Yeah. See, it was good enough. You're not eating. Mom and dad are going to eat. We're going to get you apple slices on the way home because you're going to eat healthy.
Poor kids.
But mother, I'm so, I don't know why they got a Cockney accent, but they do.
Yeah. Like it just turned into a Dickensian wave. All of a sudden. Just,
they're wearing overalls.
Mom, can I have some more?
I'm so very hungry. I mean, if McDonald's can start coming up with like healthier options for their Happy Meal, I think any restaurant can, which I think that's a sad state of affairs. Like, Happy Meal, would you like some apple slices?
No, that doesn't make me happy at all.
That's, yeah. I think there's a definitely, you could probably pinpoint when McDonald's reworked their Happy Meal menu to child psychology. People, how many kids went into child psychology, needed therapy because, you know, I want fries, I want a burger, you know, it's McDonald's, it's not supposed to be healthy.
It's not supposed to be healthy.
It's supposed to be a treat. We're not supposed to go there 3 days, three times a day.
Well, some of us just do anyway. Yeah, yeah. And that's a whole other issue for another day, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's Hozier and Eat Your Young at Solid State Radio. The Foo at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell.
Hi.
Glad to have you on board here this afternoon. And
when did we join NPR? Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
NPR, where we don't speak above a whisper.
Exactly. We wanted to have to turn up the radio as loud as possible to actually hear us. And then just start cranking some tunes, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
So I've never, I guess, worked at an office. I mean, I've never worked in an office, period, much less worked at a place that did this sort of thing. Apparently, someone on TikTok went viral after maligning the idea of attending a company potluck at his job. So this fella, I guess, let me find the quote here. It says in the video, quote, "They're doing a potluck at work today, and they were like, Corey, what are you bringing? I'm like, I'm bringing my ass to the car and eating my macaroni. That's some white people blank. I'm sorry everyone's so creative. No, thank you. I'm not doing that. By the way, guy, totally white." A viewer saw his video was surprised to hear Corey use the term white people blank because, well, he's white.
Right.
He stated in a follow-up, it's a term he likes to use because trailer park trash has become a pejorative phrase that is no longer considered politically correct. We aren't allowed to say that's effing trailer trash anymore because it's not politically correct, okay? But who the F puts mayonnaise in ambrosia salad? A goddamn criminal named Amber. He's not wrong. He's not wrong at all.
Ambrosia salad is disgusting anyway.
It's something that shouldn't exist, and I don't know why it does. Others' dislike of potluck-style meals appeared to stem from the fact that they were unsure of the manner in which their coworkers' food was being prepared. Meanwhile, Karen brought a casserole from her house that has her six cats. And you know they're all walking all over the counter while she's making the stuff, too.
God, I've always had cats, and that's one thing they've never been allowed on the car. They still do. They still jump up there, but I know a few tricks to keep them off. Especially if they get in the stove, you just leave the stove on.
Oh, Jesus.
No. What's that smell? That's called pet ownership.
Right. But I mean, we have obviously cats in our house, but the one thing they don't jump up on any surfaces where we might serve food. They're smart enough to know not to do that because they know they figured out living with me that at no point in time am I going to give them any of my food ever.
Yeah,
like
that's a part where I screw up.
Because you feed your dog table scraps, don't you?
Yes,
you're
I
that
do.
Guy.
Oh, Sean, I'm going to come out. I'm going to put myself under the bus for this one. I'm going to come out of the closet. I am terrible about feeding that because I will go to the party stores here, get myself a couple beers, and buy her a meat stick. I've gone to a local watering hole, got myself a burger, and got her a burger. She knows what that styrofoam thing looks like. There was a situation where I had a burger for her. I didn't think she wanted the bun, so I took the bun, I put it into the trash can. I look over, and she's ever so delicately, it was so cute, she was picking the bun out of the trash and putting it on the burger because she knew that was part of the experience. But, yeah, it's kind of backfired because, yeah, you can't leave anything on the coffee table to, get a drink or restroom or anything else because this dog just thinks, oh, okay, well, you walked away from it, so it's mine now.
Yeah, see, I don't make that mistake. I mean, obviously, food doesn't stay around me for very long anyway before it's, like, gone. Like, I don't just leave. Like, what is this leftovers concept? I don't understand, for one. And two, the cats have figured out by now, like, you know, I love you to death. You're both amazing. They're way too effing good. They really are. I love it.
They're good cats.
But they also know that at no point ever am I parting with my food for them.
Yep.
Ever. Rachel occasionally give them a slice of cheese, and so they started kind of like, when I bust out like string cheese or something, like I'll see them like how starting to like bag a little bit and stuff. I'm like, no, not happening. Rachel's a lot nicer than I am. I don't give up food for literal anybody at any time,
right,
ever. But no, like not on, you know, I get why people are kind of against the potluck thing. And quite frankly, there are some people, if they bring in food for a party, I'm like, yeah, we're just going to put this in the fridge and then quietly dispose of it later.
I mean, that is a real thing because, yeah, some people's cleanliness differs from others. And, you know,
yeah, I'm a guy who's worked in restaurants his entire life, and like our kitchen at home, like you the health department would absolutely 110% pass us an inspection. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Like I'm very much big on that sort of thing. Like I like everything in the kitchen, in the fridge, is like first. Oh, that doesn't look good. We got to pitch that. I am also the guy that's like obsessive about expiration dates on things.
Yeah.
Whereas Rachel, like, oh, it only expired 6 months ago. It's fine. It's fine. this literally has an entire mold colony growing on it. It's fine.
Just scrape that off. No, I actually was reading because there has been times, especially when I was a bachelor on my own, there would be like a couple slices of bread that had some mold on it, but everything looked fine, so I just throw that away and use the bread. No, apparently, if you see any kind of show of mold on a bread, that means the whole thing is that close to being moldy. Just pitch the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't leave milk out because I've heard, like in grade school, that how many millions of things of bacteria will grow in that milk when it's in room temperature.
Oh yeah, like these are just things that I do not screw with because I am germophobic in a lot of ways, and just like I just have a thing about that. Like, it's just beaten into me from years of, you know, being in a restaurant kitchen, man. Like, I don't let that stuff, you know, take the chance. Like, I'm the guys with the disinfectant wipes before I start prepping food. Like,
yep,
I'm that effing weirdo, man.
Yeah, and I know you take serve safe classes. I mean, you learn all that stuff. I don't deal with food prep, but even in my position, I have to take those classes.
Yeah. Yes, that stands to reason, but I know a lot of people, like, there are certain people at who work at bars in town that I see, oh my God, I'm not eating anything that you cook anymore. Like, you literally just, you know, manhandled that chicken tender and went to make, or that grilled chicken breast and then went to make somebody's salad. Like, that thing was raw. That's not cool.
You're mixing that drink with a chicken drumstick.
Like, what are you doing?
But back to this person about, you know, white people food. I think that's funny. First of all, let's just cut right down to the white meat. No pun intended. It's the fact that a company potluck that they're making it sound like everybody's required to participate in.
Yeah,
I mean, if you don't want to hang out with your coworkers, you don't have to. I recommend it because it makes for a better working environment. But if you don't want to, you shouldn't have to.
I have been on multiple sides of that, and I feel like this is something I actually have another topic that I think we're going to get into on tomorrow's show. Sure. About that. Where, like, I not necessarily, there have been times when, I like my coworkers and people I work with, and there are other times when they're all just, I can say this here because I won't be able to say it on the AM tomorrow, a bunch of catty bitches. Let me get it out of my system now.
No, that is, and that's not a swipe against women because
there's
a lot of guys.
There have been dudes who are like that too.
Yeah, absolutely. I know from past working relationships that a lot of times if you see people, typically it's at a bar.
Yeah.
You see people outside of a bar. I realize that there's people I don't like to work with, but I love to hang with, and vice versa. There's people I really like to hang with that are kind of a-holes at work.
You know, I'm sitting right here.
Yeah, yeah, I know, right?
Come on.
So, and I have seen the benefits of hanging out after work, but in this kind of situation where it's kind of like an organized, you have to bring a dish, you have to participate, it's part of your job, that's just, I don't agree. Potlucks, I'm not a big fan of potlucks anyway. I mean, if you want to bring pizza to the place, or like our place of employment gets like,
they order out from other
Jimmy
restaurants.
John's and stuff like that. Yeah, so yeah, I'm totally on board for that. But
that I'm fine with. Like, there are some of you that I really just don't need to taste your cooking, literal, ever. I don't want anything that came out of your kitchen. Like, you go ahead and just bring some plates and paper towels, man. That we'll be fine with that. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Thursday afternoon and turn things over to local original whatever the hell
camping
it is you do.
Camping tips. We're gonna learn how to purify your own urine. It's gonna be a good time.
Sweet Jesus, that's not where I thought you were going with that, but okay. Sessions, a full hour of Michigan-made music is on the way next. We're back tomorrow at 3 with picks and unsolicited advice and all our normal Friday stupidity. All being well, talk to you then. See ya!